Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Harold. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Random Thoughts, episode 6. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
I could leave you and let you stay there. But it's not random thoughts. Yes, you did. You messed it all up.
After I said it, I was like,
I could edit this out, but I refuse to.
Let it ride. Let it ride. This just shows I'm human. You know, if you cut me, I believe. It just shows I'm human.
You know, this is when, you know, we could always leave it on the cutting room floor. But like the producers of these reality TV shows that we review quite a bit, we want to put all the flubs in. Yeah. It makes it just a little bit better, right?
Yes.
Now, we had an interesting time doing King's Court, right? Yeah. And one of the castmates that was very, we had a lot to say. And I'm actually surprised she decided to come on because you had a lot to say. I had a lot to say. And maybe she has a few words for both of us. I have no idea. Or maybe she's hacking our system right now because, you know, she's in security. She's in film, and she's also the president of the Detroit City Chess Club. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hey. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Back to you.
Now, first things first, is our computer safe?
I can't confirm or deny.
You know, I do have to ask because, of course, this came up early on about being president of the Detroit City Chess Club. Mm-hmm. So what exactly does the chess club do? And what does the president do besides tell people play better?
Well, first of all, so my pitch is that, you know, within the school systems, we've lost a lot of art programs, mm-hmm. even science programs and musical programs. And not every kid is musical or athletic or artistic, but every kid can think. So it's really important for me to operate in the Detroit metro area because that's where I'm from. We pride ourselves with underprivileged school systems, and we have seen wonderful results. I personally raise funds. That's my primary goal, and to network and build the organization. And my original role was vice president, which I like better. And I would joke and say VP stands for volunteer parent. That's all it is.
Yep.
And so we do travel nationally, internationally. And so I help to organize and scout out places to go to compete. And we rock. I have the largest African-American chess team in the country. So it's a big deal. Yeah. 22 years.
So so these are actually children, not an adult chess club. Is that what it is?
Yeah. So it's children, but we started the program 22 years ago. And we pride ourselves in legacy. So a lot of our coaches are former legacy members. And so they come back, and it's really a family enriched environment. And I'm so proud of it. It's my passion project.
So I'm kind of curious, in your dating life, do you find men can be intimidated by that?
They do. So I'll give you a little secret. I play chess, but I don't play a lot. Mm. But I talk so much smack, I have to. So I, you know, of course, analyze games, and I, you know, I teach. But I don't play at a grandmaster level by far. But I talk, my talk smack game is very high.
Okay, but how is your spades game though? That's the real question.
Oh, that's spades. Come on now.
I was gonna ask dominoes.
Dominoes too, gotta be cool. But relationship building is spades for sure. You gotta trust your partner.
Yep. Yeah. Very true. Now, okay, that's what we heard a lot about on the on King's Court was about president of the chess club, right? Mm-hmm. But there's more that you do as well. I know cybersecurity, you're also in film as well. But what else do you do in your regular life before we get to the King's Court of it all? What else do you do?
So by day, I am a senior vice president of a company that revitalizes businesses. And I love what I do. I've always worked in cybersecurity, ethical hacking earlier on in my young career. And so I'm very ethical with it, though. So no spying on my girlfriend's boyfriends and things like that.
I know they've asked, though, haven't they?
They asked, but we take an oath. We take an oath. It was certified, so you can't do it.
is this like the movies where you got recruited because you hacked into somebody's system?
I placed myself there. No.
She just showed up on payroll. Yeah. No one else on it.
I guess since you're here. Yeah.
So, of course, King's Court comes up. How do you get on the show? What was the process? Did you seek it out? Did they find you and say, we need somebody who's great at chess who can keep everybody entertained at night?
So it's interesting because I have a girlfriend who was going for Ready to Love Detroit. And she submitted me for that because they were asking for girlfriends. And immediately when I had my interview, they said, no, not that show. We have something better for you. And so, and nothing against Ready to Love. But
oh, no, I think, you're right.
I think it's a different dynamic, right? So I was intrigued, and it was definitely not on my radar at all to do a dating show at 50, but I was excited about the adventure of it all. You know, who likes a blind date? No one. Raise your hand.
Right.
No one. So I was up for the adventure of it all.
So the adventure of it all, it kind of just intrigued you. So did you expect to actually find love? Did they tell you who was going to be on the show prior to you getting there?
Oh, they did not tell us anything. They just said celebrities. Mm-hmm. And even that I challenged because I remember in my interview, I said, well, what's a celebrity to you?
And they're like, just perfect.
Yeah, I'm a celebrity, influencer. So,
right.
That was scary because I thought, and I recall asking them, okay, like Flavor of Love, you know, and they said, no, these are, you won't be upset. I said, okay, I'm up for it.
So that's funny though, to ask that, oh, what kind of celebrities are you speaking of? Like, what level are we talking, right? Mm-hmm. When I saw on your IG that when you were first joining the show in episode 3, you had the Fab Four, right?
Yeah.
What was it like when you met those ladies and you joining? It's still early in the process, but still late in the process. So it's almost like in the middle of everything. What was that process like?
So we didn't know quite what wave of the ladies or how many of the ladies there would be. I had seen Queen's Court before. And so the more I gained trickled information from about the event, I thought, okay, I kind of think I know what this is about. But we did not talk until we were in that ring, which was interesting. And what kind of first date is it to dress up? Blind date, costume, cosplay. I mean, it's just a mix of disaster. And I remember when I was going out, the producer said, go out there and just sell it. And I said, say less. Okay.
Now, you came out as Electra, right? Mm-hmm. Was that made up on the spot, or is Electra like Sasha Fierce?
You know, so I didn't have a ready-made alter ego, but I did want something that represented me. So they did give us some type of creative choice of choosing what we wanted. And I thought, queen, goddess. I win either way. So, but I will give you a little Easter egg. The name Electra, we could choose our own names and our salutation. So we would do the write-up. And everything I saw for love and goddess was like Aphrodite, and it didn't quite fit. I found Electra, and I have a very close best friend who lost her mom. Her name was Electra. So I didn't say anything. So when she saw the episode, she said, wait a minute, Kitty Electra? And I said, yeah, that was a nod for you.
That's really good. So after that whole introduction, you have the mixer. And so I was curious, because I rewatched that episode earlier today. Mm-hmm. And what was your impression, A, of the kings? And was there anyone that you were drawn to first?
So I was very impressed with the choices. All three of the kings were very much gentlemen. They were hospitable. They made sure that we were taken care of. And they were handsome, all three of them. And very diverse. So when I met the kings, I thought, okay, we have some flavors to choose from. forgive the term. Look at him blinking. Come on, Sarah. So, and then I thought also the ladies were very diverse, size, race, age even. And I thought, this is pretty cool. And then upon talking with the ladies, we were very much within our own rights, rocking our domain. So right. That was refreshing that this was a collection of wonderful queens. I was drawn most to Tyson. I think it was just because I knew who he was. Thaddeus scared me when he first came out because he was throwing men. He's so impressive, right? It's just like throwing men on the ring. And I just thought, oh, man. And he slapped the man in the face. And he was intimidating initially.
That's interesting, right? Because I'm not surprised to hear you say Tyson first, because that's one of the things you said. And, you know, the way the editing went, as soon as the confession, you're like, he looked at me in those eyes. And I almost feel like every woman that walked on that show had an immediate reaction first, right? And then you see, and you really answer the next question, which is about Thaddeus, when he comes in and that wrestling match intro. Because if you're not into wrestling, that can be a little intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, in terms of energy, I would say Carlos in how he presented himself. So he was very much chill and laid back. And I tend to favor that, you know, not someone that's just so bold and loud. So his demeanor, I would say, out of the three, was more of my style.
On his grown man-ish. I got you.
Grown.
Yeah. So I think the guys get to pick who they want to bring on the group date. Mm-hmm. And you've heard me talk about Tyson, so you know what I think about him. But what did you think when you got picked by Tyson to be on the group date?
So I didn't know what to think. I think I was in the wonder of it all. I even remember on the mixer toying with one of the ladies. I was instantly in strategy mode. Me kissing him on the cheek was just to, you know, pick at some of the ladies. That was me being playful. And I think it's interesting that I get upset about a kiss later.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah. So I have analyzed the show, and there are a lot of things like Googling Carlos bad, Googling Sarah good. Right? Think about it. So
very true.
Yeah, I can totally see that. So after that round happened, I think the OGs come in. And mm-hmm. So what's always interesting is, what is that dynamic like? Because you haven't met any of these ladies. Mm-hmm. And of course, they've already been around for, I don't know how long, days, weeks. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like, just meeting the OGs and moving into the house?
So my strategy, I'm a slow burn and I'm an observer. So a lot of the episodes, you're like, where was she? I was absolutely there and had viability, but I observe. I'm a courting type. I like to watch and see how people interact with others, how they talk, mm-hmm. things that are important to them. So at the mixer, I was kind of socializing and just looking around to see the dynamics, because there were definitely some pairing already going on.
Right.
I think it was good that Janae wasn't at our mixer that time. So because it allowed us, I think that was a good idea, you know, and they're absolutely solid. But I think for fairness, I think that it helped us to have a little bit more dialogue with Carlos that day.
Are you saying she wasn't really sick? That's why she couldn't come?
No, they actually were. And okay. I was a little nervous moving in the house. I was like, well, you know, who's over there?
What are and they how saying? Sick is she?
Yeah, like, how is she sick already? Who made her sick?
Is it COVID? Is it COVID? I need to know. Is it COVID?
Yeah, so... So that part, I think, was healthy for Carlos, because even though it worked out amazing,
right?
Love at first sight, still viable, and it's working out amazing. I think going through the process and owing it to himself just to go through the process. And I think he juggled that really well.
See, I thought so too. And, you know, watching the dynamic, especially when the perfect match came in, that became a bigger issue. But there's something that you said, going back to when you first came in and being introduced as Elektra.
I believe it was, she is a professional 50-year-old timeless woman, and her advantage is having experience.
Experience. And I do. Yes.
You notice the hand gestures.
It's in 3D too on the camera.
Sprinkle me. How did that play for you on the show, though? Being they were the OGs because they were there first, but you are an OG in the sense.
The official OG. Yeah.
How did that play for you?
You know, I'm very comfortable in my age. My energy is very timeless, and I don't definitely mature and definitely seasoned and experienced, but I enjoy, I'm a very energetic person. So Electra was the perfect alter ego for me. In the house, I did find that I'm an empath. So a lot of people kept coming to me eye to eye that one night. But that happened a lot. Allison, I can name them all. A lot of them came to me just to have one-on-one and talk. Even the Kings would come to me and say, hey, what do you think about them? Thaddeus has come to me about Kalia. You know, what do you think about this? And I'm thinking, am I counsel?
You know, I charge for this. So then, did you feel in that sense, because saying that, okay, here's where I am in life, not looking forward to more kids, did that knock certain people out with the initials TB when they say they want more kids?
I have a theory about that. Would you like to hear my analytical chess theory?
You know we do.
Oh, yes.
Awesome. So I think it, knowing what we know of Tyson, and I don't know, this is just me being funny and entertaining. I thought it was clever that he chose wanting to have kids as a determining factor of line of delineation, because who can have kids?
Younger women. Younger women.
Right. And who's done with it? We're past the, you know, rearing. It's not, you know, healthy for us. So I thought, what do you think?
Easier way than saying, you know what? I want a young tenderoni.
Something I said on the podcast that I don't know if it's episode 4 or 5 that we recapped. I was like, you know, most women have never heard Tyson talk. They've just looked at him and have just been awestruck by it. And then you start to hear him talk. I'm sitting there going, what the hell are you talking about? And so that's what shocked me, where he just has like no depth to his conversations at all. But to see so much of the world, it's just not there.
And it's good television. Now, I will say, in person, of course, he had depth. He talked a lot about businesses and enterprising things, but it makes for good television there. He reminds me of someone who's also timeless. He's Tyson is timeless. Yep. He's lived a very colorful, adventurous life. He's a thrill seeker. That's who he is. Mm-hmm. So that comes with it. And he has to pair with someone that can keep up with him.
Right.
He reminds me of Chris Brown. How old is Chris Brown? Is he 40 yet?
He's 30. He's got to be 36, I think.
Yeah, he's approaching. 35 or 36, can you imagine him 50 though? He's going to be like he is now.
Right.
That's who he is.
I went to his show and 2.5 hours on stage, and I'm like, okay, what is he having? Because he's 20 years in the game, regardless of when he started at 15. It's 20 years in the game of backflipping, dancing, and doing all this stuff. 20 years.
3 hours.
He's not going to be able to dance like that at 50. If you've been to a BBD concert, they don't dance the same.
Bobby Brown, specifically. Bobby Brown. Oh, poor thing. I love you, Bobby, but yeah.
Bobby's good for half a song.
He doesn't even have the lyrics. He's just like, roll the tape.
When you think of the days in the house, because obviously you were the unofficial therapist in the house, but what would you say was the most fun day in the house for you?
We had a couple of fun days. We cooked in the house. Bree and I both cooked for everyone. We were the only two that really cooked big meals. Bree can throw down too. I think the pool party was really fun because it was relaxed and it was just a lot of going on. I believe that was the peak of the number of ladies in the house too. Mm. So it felt just saturated with personalities and people and drama. But I think the pool party, I also like the talent show. I of course emceed that, but just gathering the talent, practicing. And it was our idea to all wear red to show unity. So we weren't really Allison's backup dancers. It was a finale. And we were all, and I love, we all couldn't wait to hear her sing.
Right.
Amazing. We felt it in the whole house. No microphone needed. But but it really was to show unity. You know, even some of the ladies, we borrowed clothes. I loaned Idavice one of my outfits, and one of my fans from the movie said, "Isn't that your outfit?" How did you even notice that? But yeah, but it was fun just feeling like there wasn't competition and there was the Cosby Show type Thanksgiving special of us dancing on the stairs.
Right. And you know, it's funny because every time somebody says that name, we all kind of cringe a little bit. But that's very, very good.
It's such good memories. It's such good memories.
It is. Yeah. And it really looked like y'all were having a lot of fun that night, right? It wasn't competition. So I could ask who won, but I think we'd all say all the women won and the talent show, right?
Yes, I think so. And I don't think it was, we were just displaying. There were multiple singers in the house. I don't think that they gained clearance. I know Demi's a singer. She has tons of songs and albums. Mm-hmm. And also Sarah, she's a singer as well. And then Kat. Kat is a DJ, but she also sings.
But I don't think they all sing like Allison. I mean,
no one sings like Allison.
No one can sing like Allison.
And Allison would warm up, and you've interviewed her. She talks like she, even her laugh, she can't help it. It's just never turns off.
Right. Very true.
Her laugh is very.
That is hilarious. You know, one of the most unforgettable nights in the house for us watching was when you had the date night with Thaddeus. And I have. Okay. I think you set the stage here, right? Why did you feel the need to tell him, "I want your full attention starting now," when you already knew the other women were going to be gone anyway?
Well, so the house was supposed to be clear because Holly cleared the house, said, "Hey, get out of their way." Thaddeus and I were choosing which, he's a dresser. Thaddeus can dress. I mean, even you've seen his Instagram. So we were having fun just trying to figure out what we can wear. And prior to that, he and I never had a clash. Mm. And I remember earlier that day in the laundry room, he said, "Oh, you're so chill. You're the only one in the house that doesn't stress me out," or something like that.
And you said, "Hold my beer."
Yeah. Wait a second. Four. And so I felt the need to say that because what was not shown on camera was that because of the perfect match setup, there were certain liberties and exclusive time, and he was really taken away, and we were not able to interrupt because I think that they were exploring that. And so because of that and just his attention always being somewhere, I just wanted him to focus on me. And it's romantic. I want, you know, what's that song? I think Her has a song, "Focus on Me."
Yep.
Yeah. Focus on me. It's you invited me. Mm-hmm. Focus on me right now. So I felt the need to say that because of what was going on in the house and everything that was going on. And so what I want to clear up is that he brought it up at dinner and said, "You told me you wanted me to yourself. You didn't tell the house." And he's right. Right. He's right. However, if I make a team agreement with my guy or the guy that invited me out on a date, I do expect him to oblige that and, you know, have that agreement. And T minus negative 0.7 seconds, she came in. So I wasn't really, you know, frustrated with her. And I don't know if production had her. It didn't matter, right? If production had, if she wanted to, if it was a towel, if it was naked or clothed, it doesn't matter. If I made a team agreement with him, I felt like he should have respected me, my time, the request, just to focus on me. He started catcalling, not once, but twice. Okay, you know, so it opened the door for her to feel comfortable to kiss him on the forehead. And was she wrong? No, she wasn't. She's just, you know, doing what she likes to do. She's marking her territory, showing that she was, you know, okay with the date. And I didn't respond. So I was labeled confrontational, but I felt like I was conflict avoidant. because I knew what was happening. And I just kind of laughed and I looked back at the closet and I was laughing like, okay, here we go.
Oh, and that was straight strategic. Very strategic.
Of course, very. And so I didn't want it to derail the date. So I ignored it at first. But when she went to the bathroom, that's what really kind of agitated me, because I'm like, Heffa, I'm getting dressed. Like, you know, that's my stuff in there. and she asked me twice. And then that's when I felt like I should advocate for myself and say, I don't do this on her dates. And I was not talking to her. So when he chastised me at the table, I wasn't talking to her. I was talking to him. And I said, I don't do that on her dates. And I said, this is what I'm talking about. So I was communicating, and I felt course correcting us to my original request.
So I'm glad that you bring this up, because I even said this. I was like, why does Titus seem to have to chastise women? It's like, he likes them if they don't say anything back to him or don't challenge him, he likes them. But if they challenge him, he's going to have a conversation, and then the next day be like Ike Turner and buy you something to make you feel good. Hey, I'm sorry about yesterday. I said some things. You said some things. Here's a fur coat. Sorry about that.
There was a cycle of that. When I watched the show, I did feel like that. It was like a lot of testing and abrasiveness. And then it was like, you know, I apologize. And then he was labeled for being emotionally intelligent. But I felt like you know, you have to choose what battles you'll have. And even when we got to the table and he brought it up, he had asked me first, what do I like about him? And then I asked him the same. And so when it derailed, I was like, okay, well, let me just listen. I was listening at first. So I was like, well, this is not fun. And I said, okay, well, let's just talk about our charities. Let's talk about being parents. And I said, I just really want to get to know you. And he just chopped in and said, no, this is what's bothering me. And it got more and more aggressive. And I remember stopping. You're not supposed to talk to production. I said, hey, hello. I don't have men talking to me like this.
Excuse me. And, like, somebody tell him I'm from Detroit.
Who ordered this one? Because she's showing up in a second. And so when it was way longer, of course. And then I thought, okay, I have to respond, because at first I was just quiet. I didn't know where it came from. And because we were cool. But after that, I said, no, I have to say something. And I do feel in that situation, when I observe it, I feel like as the woman, I could have just acknowledged, okay, I hear you. I hear your side, and just continued the date, and then brought back another time and say, hey, you know, the other day when we were talking about, let me tell you my side.
Right.
And my side is that when we were in the closet, remember that, this didn't jive with me. I didn't like how you catcalled. That was why I was saying it. I could have paused. However.
Sometimes you got to just call it to the carpet at the moment.
At that point, I felt so disrespected. It was way worse. And I felt like it was beyond just telling me that bothered me, because I'm like, okay, cool, let's eat this food, this caviar. But it just totally derailed. And I watched that a few times. It definitely was a big point. I remember the producer was like, we have a show. I'm gonna go out and pray, because what is this? But I look at that, and of course you do that in real relationships. You look at what works, what doesn't. It wasn't my best hour. It wasn't his best hour. But I think that it really helped to stimulate a lot of conversation.
Yeah.
I was impressed with how you handled it. I'm sorry. I'm just really impressed with how you handled it, because I think a lot of women, I think, need to see other strong women say, hey, you're not going to talk to me this way. Right. And so I just applaud how you handled that.
I appreciate that, because it's definitely mixed, and mostly men. Men say, oh, no wonder she's single. So I did feel like I felt that in my observation with him, I feel that he likes someone that pedestalizes him.
Right.
And so he was attracted to whoever was raising him the highest. Mm. And if you weren't doing that, or if he felt like your image of him was tarnished, mm-hmm. it was like, okay, get out of here.
Is that a trait that you see in most celebrities, would you think?
I don't know. I did see it in him. I saw it a little bit with Tyson. So
a little bit?
So if the image is tarnished, then they feel like, I want you to see me as this imposter syndrome type person that I've painted for you. And so that part I did feel ended up in the result that it did. So whoever was gushing over him. And when you weren't, elimination, get out of here.
We're going to skip a little part real quick because I just want to get to where he came out and apologized.
Yes.
Right? It looked like you heard him, but you really weren't listening or didn't care to hear what he had to say. Is that correct?
In the words of Big Sean, I'm just joking. That is, I love you. I'm having fun. I was praying, because I did exit. I just needed, solitude. Mm-hmm. And I will say on the show, I would tease by maybe noon. My word count for the day had been spent. It was a lot of talking. I don't do that much talking in my real life. So I just needed to retreat and kind of recalibrate, as I said, but they kept sending him over. And I said, I'm trying to pray right now. And so that's why I said alone. It wasn't to be as offensive, like demon.
Yeah. That was hilarious though. Together. No. No.
But I do.
I'm talking to my God.
I do. I'm big on atonement. Because even if I don't feel like I will be cool with this person again, it's free and it's peaceful and I don't have to agree. And I didn't in that moment, as we can see by the words. I did feel like the apology from him was baited because he said, I can apologize for my part.
Right. Yeah.
Carol called that out the whole time.
I did. Yeah.
You mean you're 100% of the part.
Yes. I'm gonna own my part, but I need you to own yours too. But let me just go ahead and tell you about my apology first before you give me yours.
I was because it was so intense in there, I was not ready to talk to him. And so very much like, again, looking at the polar opposites, it was too intense for him. So he left to reset. I felt like I wanted to reset and I wasn't afforded that in that moment. Because he kept trying to apologize and I wasn't ready. So I observed the show and there are a lot of differences, but sameness.
Right. quick question though. Which one of your exes called you and said, hey, or just even reached out? I recognize that face when you were sitting at the table and when you're like, no, I need to pray alone. Which one reached out and said, or how many reached out and said, I know that face?
What's funny is that my family and I'm cool with some of my exes and a few of them said, oh man, some of them were really upset with him.
They said,
well, let me tell you something. You know, I care about you. How hard did he talk to you? They weren't playing about me. And even my Aunt Bev that was on the show. Uh-huh. Oh my God, Aunt Bev, her beautiful self in her 70s looking amazing. Yes. She did not like it. When she saw that, she said, I wish I knew he was talking to you like that.
I find it funny that your exes are like, how was he really hard like you? What are you going to do? He is a big man. Did you not watch him throw another man across the room? What are you going to
do? The slap. I think that they were going to team together.
I'm going to send him a really aggressive email.
Yeah. Bucko.
Now, in between the blow up at dinner and, of course, the apology, semi-apology, there was a lot of activity going on. And I know people had a lot of questions about you rolling up in the spa, rolling up on the s'mores date, and just like, hey, yo, we ain't gonna eat this. Y'all want some?
Date crasher. Yeah.
Yeah.
So sharing is caring. And I would never do that. And I'm very private even. So even sharing, hey, my date went bad, was a lot for me. I wouldn't have even said that, but it was a ton of food there. And, you know, they wanted me to share the food. I thought, okay, let me take the food. And they said, no, say something. Okay. My date was bad. All right. And you notice I left quick both times. Right. It's like, food, horrible, bye. And, and then I loved that we all came to the fire and you saw we were having a good time. And I thought that was cool. And I learned about Janae and Carlos, and we were laughing and having a good time. And then the edit was like,
yeah,
right after. But I've looked at that episode and just looked at how I could have done better, because I think that that's the key. You know, we're not going to be pristine, but we have to grow and learn and not crash dates.
Well, it's easy to think that when you don't have producers in your ear going, all right, Catherine, here's what you got to go do. This is going to be so good. Go do this.
Yeah.
So obviously, I don't think you were surprised when you wound up at Elimination Dinner or even eliminated, and essentially, right?
I requested to go. Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. But I mean, the writing's on the wall. I'm not willing to just stay. Of course, we all had the fantasy of finding someone, but it's a waste of my time. And if it's clear, it's clear. And it was very clear after that, you know. So if you notice the elimination walk, Jennifer and Allison were kind of straight faced, and I'm just like,
skipping.
I was ready. And, you know, I wish them something that wasn't shown. I bought them all gifts, and I talked about the importance of leaving people better than you do apartments and jobs. We give 2-week notices, we reset the apartment. Right. But with people, most times people leave them mangled. And so I gave them all parting gifts, chess sets. I bought Tyson a girl dad hat. Mm-hmm. I bought Carlos piston earrings. I said, have your girlfriend wear my team.
Right.
I said, you love pistons. I know you do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then Thaddeus, he likes Camus wine. We both do. So I bought him some Camus as a party gift. I didn't buy him a chess set. So
And these were all very thoughtful gifts, not just a gift, but thoughtful in that sense. So, okay.
And I'm just going to say right now, I'm going to steal this, that leaving people better than you leave jobs and apartments.
Yes.
That's beautiful. I appreciate that. I'm stealing that.
And it's real. And I do have exes who have called me crying because men don't talk. I am a sanctuary for some. And I have an ex in Atlanta, and he's called me just bawling, crying. He's like, I don't have anyone to talk to. You're it. You're it. I said, okay, I can do that. And it's because if I've spent this time with you, I care for you.
Right. Yeah.
But the mature decision is to not navigate a certain way intimately, romantically. We can be friends. You're family always.
Right. Yeah. That's very true. There are very few people that I am still not friends with. Now, there's always one or two. How many do you have that you're like, oh, hell no, we'll never speak again?
Oh, I have the worst exes ever. I do.
Yeah, see, we all have different ends of the spectrum, right? What about the women from the show? Have you kept up with any of the women since the show's ended, since the show's aired? Are you still in touch with any of them?
Yes, many of them. I even hosted, after I think the third or fourth episode, I hosted a Zoom just for us to kind of detox and talk. Mm. And some of them were on it, not all of them. The first wave of girls, I really didn't know.
Right.
But I think it was Lexi. She followed me on Instagram. But yeah, we still talk. We have business ventures going, and we encourage each other when we go on our interviews. I've paired and invited some of the ladies on my interviews with me. That was fun.
Nice.
So I think that we spent so much time with the ladies, and mm-hmm. we learned more about them, I feel, than the guys, that we have this bond.
So would you think, would you classify this experience on King's Court as successful, even though you didn't walk away paired with one of the kings?
Absolutely, because I mean the ratio, the ratio was initially, you know, what was it? 7-1.
Yeah.
And then it went to 10-1 with Carlos having his, and then it's based on, you know, maternity and then chemistry. But out of the comment I made when Thaddeus said, you know, we have some more queens coming, I said, so what? We have a world of queens. And I feel that my king is for me. Mm-hmm. You know, every relationship is an experiment. 2025 experiment number 7. Come on.
So based on the ratio, would you consider if they offered you Queen's Court? And you could be one of the queens. Would you take that opportunity?
You know what I would rather do? I would, but I would rather produce, and I would have better dates, I think. And it needed to feel more romantic. I think it was more competitive than it was romantic. So I would rather help, you know, guide the process. And I think that if we had... if we sat around the fire and had those relationship cards,
right?
Yeah,
and like pop the balloon, ask question, key questions, I think we would have had more richness.
That's a good point. You know, it's the one thing I kept saying throughout the season was that people saying that's not king behavior, and I'm like, actually, if you look at kings in history, kings do what they want.
So,
am I correct in what I'm saying? The kings acted like kings do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they wanted to do, they did, right?
Some had concubines.
Exactly.
So, to your point, yes.
Catherine, it's been absolutely fun. But before we let you go, I got a little game I want to play with you real quick. Little this or that and would you rather, okay? Is that fine with you?
That is great. I'd love this game.
All right, so Tyson Beckford or Idris Elba?
Idris. His accent is thicker now. And I haven't met him, so I got experiment number Idris.
Dinner date or Netflix and chill? Or what do they call it now? Hulu and hang?
I think dinner date, because you can talk, and I love food, as we see. I like to converse, especially the first couple of dates. They should be, you know, talking.
Good point.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Dress to the nines or comfy sweats?
Dress to the nines. Detroiters are extra. We have matching sweats. Everything matches. Yeah, to the nines. Give me a reason to dress up.
Yeah, look, my wife walked in on our first date with a fur collar. I was like, okay.
Okay. First date, she set the bar high.
Oh, yeah, it was done. Texting or phone calls?
A phone call. And I can be old school when it comes to that. I do like to connect.
Stay in or go out?
I stay in. My home is my sanctuary. I like this place being like a hotel, and I can bring everything out there in here.
So. And it's safe for you.
Waterfall's done.
Okay, let's take it up a little bit. Because it's King's Court, we're going to go this route. Would you rather be stuck on an island with Carlos, Tyson, or Thaddeus?
I'm going to say, depends on which island. If it's like Australia, Thaddeus, because he could kill everything that's there.
Right.
but I would say Carlos, because he's just so fun. You know, I would say Carlos.
Okay.
And Janae.
I was made to, because easy answer is Carlos, that's but it. Then you know Janae's right there. Yeah. Like, yeah. Excuse me?
That's a really long sentence. It's a compound word.
I can just see her face when she watches this, be like, what did she say? Okay, we good. I was about to take my earrings off, put some Vaseline on. It's about to be on. So would you rather always know the truth or never know the truth?
This is a Matrix question. Red or blue pill?
Yeah.
I'm going to say always know the truth.
All right. This one's a little silly, but would you rather date someone who couldn't play chess or had no rhythm?
So I'm a dancer too. So, and I've always dated men who don't dance, but I would say don't play chess because I love to dance. Compa, kizomba, salsa, bachata, all of it.
Nice. Okay.
Plus, you're going to talk smack to him, and no guy wants to hear that every day. Right.
That's what happened last day. That's what happened last day.
Would you rather relive your King's Court experience or try a totally different reality show?
Totally different reality show, for sure.
Okay, you said you would produce, but if you had to be on one.
Uh-huh.
We know it's not Ready to Love Detroit, but which
would it be? I like home shows. Mm-hmm. I think I would do a home show. Of course, the Real Housewives, I think it would be great to do. Those are fun. I don't really watch reality, which is crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. But chess, arguably, the drama mm-hmm. that happens in chess, we could have our own reality show. So if any producers are out there, come check me out.
Hey, Will Pack is always looking for. Catherine, it has been absolutely fun. We had a blast watching you. Again, we had our strong opinions, and I appreciate you just even coming on and facing those straight up and giving us some more insight, because just even we know the edit. But to hear what you said, just even the cat calling and all that, it gives us a bigger and a better perspective on what was happening there and why. And I got to say, I kind of don't blame you.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. And it's important to have these difficult conversations. And this wasn't difficult, but just to face the good, the bad, the everything. So I appreciate you all for having me on.
Yeah.
Now, where can we find you? Everyone can find you. And see whether it's chess, the new film that you're in, or seeing if you're hacking into their systems.
No hacking. My chess group is on DetroitChess.com, and we play at the Detroit Institute of Arts every Friday. We've been there 22 years. It's open play. Instagram is Catherine JM, as well as TikTok and also Twitter. And approach me. I'm very approachable. I love to hear your experiences as well. And thank you again for having me.
Thank you, Catherine. Hey, I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks, Catherine.